Thanks for being here today. It is our last week of our balance series, and all of God's people said. Yeah. Okay, now you didn't have to get that excited about being done talking about money. Come on, man. Come on. Hey, I am so glad you're here. We are wrapping it up, week number 6 with balance, talking about developing a plan. Now, if you have not been with us, I strongly encourage you to catch up in some way, shape, or form, whether that be on podcast or video cast. Go catch up, because I'm telling you, this series has messed a lot of people up, including myself on numerous occasions, and I want you to get this, because this is some seriously spiritually rich stuff. So here's what I want to do, though, to just give you a recap if you haven't been here, is I want to share with you what we've done. Basically, we have talked about the 3 laws of physical balance, and we've kind of connected them to how very closely they are connected with balancing our finances. All right, so I'm going to review them for you just so you can get caught up on the same page and let you know what we've been talking about. But the very first week, we talked about the first law of physical balance is I have to have a reference point. And that reference point in this particular illustration would be this dollar sign. My eyes must be affixed on this dollar sign. When they're not, then I'm going to have a whole lot more trouble keeping balance. Okay, so how we connected that idea with the spiritual balance of balancing our finances was this. This is a great starting point. If you are out of balance with your finances, a brilliant place to start is establish a reference point. Where in the world would that be, Pastor Josh? I would suggest that it would first be this. Start knowing where your money is. Man, you guys are good. You guys are good today. Start knowing where your money is going. Now, I'm not promising you're going to walk out of here rich for the rest of your lives. But we did establish the fact that every dollar has a name. And if you don't know where it's going, there's probably good indication as to why you are out of balance. And I've already had countless people come up to me and tell me, man, Pastor Josh, we did that homework assignment. We're still doing it. You would never believe how much money my wife spends. Yeah, you know better. You know better. And then she comes and says, you would never believe how much coffee he buys. But people have done this and they've realized, wow, there's a good indicator that I'm out of balance when we're spending $700 a month on food. Seriously. So that was the first law of balance, establishing a reference point. And then we jump to the 3rd law of physical balance. And we said this, I've got to have my reference point, my eye on the dollar sign. And then the next thing, and this is kind of precedes it all, but the clear objective. This is number 3. I'm going to come back to number 2 in just a minute. But number 3, I got to have a clear objective. What is my clear objective in this visual illustration? It is to keep this pole balanced. It's very simple. It's not hard. The overall line objective is keep the pole upright. Keep it balanced. Don't let it fall. That's the 3rd law of physical balance. Now, how does that relate to our finances and keeping balance with our finances? Here's how that relates. All right? Here's how that relates. We establish from Scripture that everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God and everything is dispensed by God. So the clear objective, the overall objective in balancing our finances is this. You have got to come to a point sometime in your life with your finances that you realize you actually own nothing. You are just a manager. And if everything belongs to God, not only do I give and honor him with just a percentage like we've even talked about and Scripture says, I have got to come to a conclusion that I must figure out a way how I can honor God with everything. With everything. I know this is where most of us get stuck. This is where most of us are stuck and we can't get farther into the system, or that's why things are even screwed up more down the road. But we have got to come to an understanding that everything belongs to God. How do I honor him with that? Then we spent the next 3 weeks talking about the second law of physical balance, okay? The first one is my reference point, and then I've got to clear objective, just keep this thing balanced. But if you notice my right hand, and I'm just going to get fancy today because I am that good. Yeah. I Now, my second law of physical balance is this. You've noticed my right hand. I must make constant corrections along the way. I have to make constant corrections to keep this pull balance. We related that second law of physical balance to managing and balancing our finances this way. We broke it down into three areas. The first week that we talked in week three was the constant correction of credit debt. Anybody here love credit debt? I didn't think so. That's how you get an amen from a crowd on a Sunday. All right. Everybody here, chances are, have been in some type of consumer credit debt in some way, shape, or form along their lives. And everybody hates it because there's a reason why. The Bible says you are enslaved to it. You are a debtor to your debtee, or reverse that, whatever it means. You know what I'm talking about. You are enslaved. You are in constant bondage. And the problem with that idea is we established the fact that you can never get out of it. And remember we said in that particular week of credit debt is this my brain, it needs to work. We said that you will continue to be enslaved. And if you are in credit debt, it is a sign that things aren't going well for you. In scripture is what it said. Then week number four, we talked about what do we do with our extra. Yeah, that was great. A great week to follow credit card debt, right? Because everybody said, I ain't got no extra. And we proved the fact that you do have extra. Because you got a coffee habit. You got a fast food habit. You've got a spending habit. You have extra, and everybody in this room has extra, and we even compared it to the world's standards. Go on a foreign mission trip, and you'll figure out how much extra you really have. You just choose to spend it in different areas. We rolled out to you an unbelievable opportunity, and that particular week, we talked about the parable of the rich man, and if you lose out on life with your extra, if you don't do it the right way, in the end, you are not rich towards God. You are not rich towards God along the way. You're going to miss the whole point. No U-hearse. No hearse following the U-Haul to your funeral. Is that right? No U-Haul following your hearse. This whole mic thing got me messed up this morning. I had a plan, a strategy. All right. There is no U-Haul following your hearse. If you fail to be rich towards God, and we rolled out Power Pack Copa. Anybody here say, I wanted to be a part of Power Pack Copa? Raise your hand. Unbelievable. I'm going to share with you just a couple of the results that we had in that first particular week. 29 people signed up and said, I want to be a part of the prayer team. Okay, now, first of all, that's kind of sad because we're a church of like 1,000 people. All right, so it's okay to grab that Power Pack card and sign up. I'll pray. Okay. We need you to pray for this ministry because this has a chance to be epic. So we need more than 29. That really wasn't meant to be negative, but it was. All right. So prep team, 74 people said, I'll prepare. We're going to throw in the small groups and start doing that with DNA small groups. Delivery team, 44, giving. This is really, really cool. 85 total people or family units contributed and said, we will give monthly towards Power Pack Copa in the amount of $2,959 monthly. I need to remind you of something, okay? This is pretty cool because $8 a bag, this purchases 90 bags a month right now. Now, here's the deal. This is a great starting point because right now we've identified 100 kids. And if some of you are like, well, what in the world is Power Pack Copa? Here's what it is. We're just simply being biblical, Jesus-like, and feeding those that are less fortunate, taking our extra and actually giving it to somebody who really needs it, not just us. And we talked about that, and we've identified schools in the Maricopa Unified School District that are going home on Friday afternoon and not eating again until Monday. Something's wrong with that. And as a church, no strings attached, we want to be Jesus to these kids in some way, shape, or form. And that's what Power Pack Copa is all about. You need to keep praying about how you can be involved in it. Last week, we talked about discontentment. Hey, you guys enjoy Randy Deal last week? He may be listening to this. Did you guys enjoy Randy Deal last week? All right. raising awareness with our discontentment. And he did a great job in talking about what that means, about basically our awareness of what we don't have fuels our discontentment, and we want more of it. And we have an appetite for more, an appetite for more. And we establish the fact, the only way that you can get rid of your appetite is to starve it to death. Starve it to death. Proper perspective. So today, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to you for the next 2-3 hours or so about developing a simple plan of what you and I, what the Bible has to say about what you and I need to do with our finances. It's kind of the overall, just wrap it up, the bookend of this conversation. Give you a plan for your finances. Now, I know there's not too many people out there that are financially set, so I should be seeing a lot of pens and papers getting ready to write this stuff down. Do you understand? Okay, 5 people want to experience financial freedom. All right, guys, this is great stuff I want to tell you, and it's not mine, it's God's. It's not mine, it's God's, so I want to share with you. All right, so here's what I've done. I want to start us off right here. There are essentially, I've kind of nutshelled it down and tried to figure out what are the essential things that you and I do with our money. Okay, so here's what it is. You probably see this. It'll be up there. If you can't see it, that's all right. I write in fine tip Sharpie. All right, so here are the 5 essential things. The 5 essential things that you and I do with our money. All right, we can spend our money, which we're pretty good at, and then we end up repaying the debt of spending what we couldn't afford to begin with. And then we'll pay taxes. Hopefully you're doing that right now in the next month or two, or else you're going to get messed up with these two. All right. Hopefully you're paying your taxes. And then we can save. And then we can give. We can give. Now I realize that these could have some subcategories broken down in them. I get that. But what for analogy's sake and illustration's sake, this is basically what you and I do with our money, broken down into 5 categories. Big topic categories. You can spend it, you can repay debt, which pay back what you spent you couldn't afford, you can pay taxes, you can save your money, and you can give your money. This is basically the 5 things that you and I do with our money. I stick close to my notes because I did speak like 3.5 hours last night, so I need to stick close. Now, for most Americans, here's the interesting thing. This, for you and me, this is pretty much the order in which we use or what we do with our money. Spend, repay debt, pay taxes, and then we save, and then if there's a little bit left over, we'll give. If there's a little bit left over. Now, I'm going to put a different spin on this, kind of make it personal for all of us, okay? I'm going to put a different spin on this because for most of us, this is what we do, all right? So we spend. So in essence, spend would be me, okay? All right, I get that. Repay debt. Me, okay? You're like, all right, we're going to catch a break on this next one. Pay taxes. All right, because normally we say pay taxes. We live in America, so I'll give you America would be a good answer, but I'm going to go ahead and suggest this. Pay taxes, that's kind of a we, right? Save. That's another me. Thank you, George. Appreciate that. That's another me. And then, if there's anything left over, we give. To what? God. Yeah. Yeah. You guys are tracking. I changed the whole complexity of this message. God and others. We'll finally get down to the list and we'll think about giving to others, or in particular with God. Now, let me go over this list for you real quick, because I know this is tricky. I know this was complex, so I'm going to break it down for you note takers so you understand. This list right here, ready? Really simplified. Broken down how with the 5 essential things that you and I do with our money. Ready? Me, and then maybe, just maybe, if there's a little bit left over, God and others. Okay, from the Christian perspective, are you seeing kind of the point or the problem with this particular list? This essentially means that God and others, right down here, get what's left over. They get what's left over. See, basically, if we went back to the list, if I haven't spent it all, and if I don't owe it all, and the government doesn't take it all, if I don't save some of it, then maybe, just maybe, if there's a little bit extra at the bottom of the piggy bank, then I'll give to God and others. Now, hopefully you're feeling as guilty as I did when I started to write this message. So let me change the idea just for a minute and really make you feel guilty. In spite of the fact that this is pretty much the priority list of all of us at some point in time in our lives. I'm not saying that it is right now for some people, but the few, okay? The majority of us, this is our priority list. In spite of the fact of this being our priority list, here's the amazing thing. When you and I get into financial trouble, we get out of balance. Who is the first person we go to ask for help? Don't answer that out loud. For sake of self-incrimination. It doesn't matter how we, this is our priority list, but we will not hesitate going to God and say, God, would you help me out a little here? And you're saying, well, I've never really done that. Okay, let's just see if you have. God, I am upside down in my house and I really could use you to help me sell my house. Or how about this one? God, I am out of money and I need a job. Could you intervene here and open a door? God, I could use a little bit more money. God, would you? See, we'll get to the point that we will all invite God into our finances when things are out of balance. God, would you please help me with my finances? And I got to believe that God, in all of his infinite wisdom, would look down at you and me and he'd say, help you with what? Help you take care of me? Me? We? Me? And then maybe, just maybe if there's a little left over, you're going to include me on the deal? Do you get what you're basically saying? All of us, not just you, I'm sorry, me too. When we get to this point and we ask finally God to get involved in our finances, but we're kind of a little ticked off at this time, you know what I'm saying? Like, where you been, God? All right, listen. Basically, you and I, when we go to God, finally, after we have made a mess of balancing our finances, we go to God and we say something like this, God, would you please help me? Wait for it. With me. For me. Do you see the problem with this thing, folks? George does. Somebody else, help me out here, man. God, would you help me? Help me. And I got to believe, I really don't know. I looked in the Bible. I really don't know what God would actually say in this moment. But I got to believe, I'm kind of making up this part, but I got to believe that God is thinking this. If he's looking at our priority list in which we're spending me, repaying debt me, paying taxes we, saving me, giving God and others. I got to believe that if he's looking at this list, he's got to be thinking this when you come to him. God, would you help me with me? Why? Why would I help you when you've pretty much shut me out? I'm nothing more than an emergency fund. Extra change at the bottom of your pocket. See, here's the problem. We have a habit here, okay? a credit card company or some other consumer debt or debt organization that forces us to have a system here. We have a government that forces us to have a system here. And then we have, a lot of us have jobs or employment opportunities that force us, we don't even have a choice, but sometimes they allow us to have a system here. And then when it comes to this, where all of these are systems, a habit system, system, when all that is into place, you know what leaves number five? Totally random. Completely random. Left up to you. Do you see the irony in that? Wow. When you and I go to God, would you please help me with my personal finances? So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to discover from Scripture today something about this. And what I want you to understand is this way we prioritize our personal finances. The way that you and I prioritize our personal finances, our list, whatever it is, represents either this, one of two things, clear, there's no middle ground. It represents either an open door to your heavenly Father or a closed door. And I'm gonna go ahead and help you in case you can't read in between the lines. This list is a closed door. This list is a closed door. Me, and if there's anything left over. So let me draw your attention to two passages of Scripture. And what I want to do is I want to do my best at arguing as best I can that if you would begin to take steps at reprioritizing, systematically changing how you prioritize, what your list looks like, the way you manage your money would actually be an open invitation for God to actually get involved in your finances. That's what I'm going to suggest to you today. Now, before I go there, I want to share with you one thing, okay? I want to share with you one thing. We have kind of sporadically spread into C-City needs 302, just in case. So, all right, I just saw that right there. Is that our kid? Okay, no? I kind of get nervous. Caleb's over there. You know what I'm saying? okay, so before I go, we've sporadically thrown up some illustrations about giving, and we've actually had some amazing things that have even happened in this series. But I want to tell you this, just before I share these passages. It really represents the few as opposed to the majority, but here's the people that have given the testimonies, or I've been inundated with countless emails and stories and bombarded with people coming up to me. It's like, Josh, I made this constant correction. I did this. We started to tithe. We reprioritized our list. I made the constant correction of getting out of debt. It's taken a while, but we're doing this. We're reallocating what we're doing with our extra stuff. They have made some conscious decisions to do some things where it costs them, something, because it's never free. I cannot tell you. This is the sole basis outside of the Word of God. The sole basis of the testimony is that people will come up to me and say, Josh, I can't even begin. I don't even, when we first looked at this thing, I mean, some of these are like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. When we first looked at this thing and you said tithe and you rolled that thing out, or you said give to this area or go on a missions trip, and we didn't have the money to do it and we had to rely on God to do it. We needed God to show up. But when we reprioritize, we manage our finances God's way, I cannot tell you, we looked at it and we did not have the money to do it, but we took the step of faith of what we're really supposed to do with our stuff. Josh, I cannot even begin to tell you, but this is crazy. We actually have more money. We actually spend less, and it's okay. We have changed our perspective. We have changed our priority. God owns it all anyway. It's His. We're just managing it. We are spending less money. We are generous. We can actually dig down deep and give more. When you ask for more, the church needs more to do a ministry. We can do that. And I don't get it, Josh, but we actually have more money now. I'm telling you, the stories are countless. And all it is ordinary people like you and like me who are trying to explain the supernatural intervention of God in their lives when they've decided to do it God's way. Now, let me show you what the Bible has to say about reprioritizing. Malachi chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles there. If you don't, it's on the screen. Now, some of you are like, Malachi 3. Isn't that verse that Danielle lady just talked about? He's talking about tithing today. And you're freaking out. Don't worry. Don't panic. Don't worry about that. Malachi, I'll give you a little bit of history. Malachi is a prophet who came from who came to the nation of Israel, and a prophet of God is basically a spokesman of God. They're speaking what God is saying through them, and he is speaking against them. You don't want to come up against a prophet that's speaking against you. That's dangerous ground. Essentially, he's saying this to the nation of Israel at this time in their history. Listen, here's the deal. You're bringing your leftovers to God. See, back then they had this sacrificial system in which they honored God. They gave to him through tithes, and they gave them the best of everything to God first. The best of everything to God first. That was the establishment, the deal that God made with Israel. And Malachi comes to the nation of Israel and says, you're not giving God your best. There's even a humorous part in this story where he's like, you're giving to God sheep that you wouldn't even eat yourself. You're giving God your leftovers. And guess what? He's not honored by that. And here's the crux of this message. Before I read, listen to this message and keep in mind the idea of priority, because that's what we're talking about, priority. The idea of priority. And remember, these were people, this is amazing, these were people that actually were already giving. Already giving. Their priorities were out of whack. Here it is, Malachi chapter 3, 7 through 10. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. That kind of hurts out of the gate right there. Ever since the beginning, you've been doing things your way. Return to me, he says. Remember, he's spokesman for God. Return to me and I will return to you. That's cause and effect. In essence, God is saying this. I would love to move in your direction, but I'm waiting for you to move into mine. The people of Israel responded by saying this, but you ask, how are we to return, says the Lord Almighty. They're kind of confused. What does that look like? What do you mean by returning? They're confused. And Malachi's like, you're doing it the wrong way. They're like, what do you mean? How do we return to God? Malachi then responds as a spokesman of God. And he says this, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. To which they replied, but you ask, how do we rob you? They're still confused. You're telling me that we're robbing God. How are we robbing you? To which Malachi responded, with how they were robbing God, how they were not returning to him in tithes and offerings. And now everybody took a deep breath. They're like, oh my gosh, he's talking. We're robbing God if we're not giving tithes. Just hold on. Let this story unfold so you understand. Let me explain something about tithes and offerings in the Old Testament so you get it before we jump to verse 9. A tithe, as most of you know, is in a specific percentage. In the Bible, it talks about it, it's a tenth. A tenth is a tithe, a tenth part, a tenth portion, 10%. And in the Jewish culture, about 400 BC, the nation of Israel was responsible to give 10% of their income from the top, their very best, to the temple, to the house of God, to the priests, and then some of it was dispersed into the community for needs that would arise. Now, in addition to the first 10%, this is crazy, the nation of Israel actually had a double tithe standard. And all of God's people saying, praise God, we live in the New Testament age. Grace. Woo! Double tithe, 10%. I'm still struggling with that. 20%. Every year, they had to give a double tithe. Now, this is crazy because they already had to give God on top the best of, their very best to God. And then once a year, they had to give another above and beyond. Above, they had to raise this on their own, another 10% that would go towards this massive national feast. Big, huge national party celebrating Jesus. And if that was not complicated enough, every third year, the additional 10% that they would be raising, not the 1 through or 0 through 10%, the 11 through 20%, they gave to the poor people in the community every third year. I mean, it's just complicated, crazy. So in essence, God was saying this through Malachi. You've been giving, yes, but you've not been giving the way that I originally invited you to give. Please get this, because here's what he's saying. To the nation of Israel, through the spokesman of Malachi, he's saying this. Giving is no longer a priority for you. This is why God called it out and just said, you've been robbing God. Then he says this, verse 9, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing God. And everybody else in here just like, oh my gosh, now we're under a curse if we're not tithing. Oh my gosh, hold on, let us unpack it. God says this because he has a deal with the nation of Israel. back with Moses, he established a deal, a pact with the nation of Israel. And he said this, look, this is how simple it can be. You honor me, and I will honor you. You honor me, and I will protect you from your enemies. You honor me, and I will make sure that you have everything that you need. Not that you think you need, but everything that I know you need. And at this particular time in history, they drifted away from honoring God. So here's the command that he gives to them. And they're waiting for this because they're like, we're under a curse. We need a command. Bring the whole tithe. The whole tithe. Get your perspective back. Don't bring me your lame, decrepit, crippled animals anymore. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now look again at the cause and effect, priority and promise from God. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much a blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Malachi says that God says this, test me on this, try me on this. I dare you to make me first on your list and then just sit back and watch how I rock your face off. Because by reprioritizing with what we do with our finances according to how God prioritizes, then God says this, I know if you reprioritize your list, here's what I know. I know I got your heart. Then you will see firsthand and you will experience it. It will be tangible. You will notice how I am moving on your behalf in your direction. Now, when many of us first hear Malachi 3:10, and we've been kind of given this as an idea before, many of us hear this and you heard the testimony, you're like kind of freaking out because you're like, this is about a tithe. And all the Pastor Josh is talking about right here is he's using this verse and he's saying this. This is about this, getting my money. This verse, this teaching application is about getting my stuff. Please, please, please hear me once again, celebrators. I could never be more clear in a generosity series. This idea, generosity, finances, is not about getting your money. This biblical principle is about getting your heart. And God is essentially saying this. I want to be number one in your priorities. And since God knows us so, so very well, he knows that we are in constant daily competition with what's going to be number one and what's going to be number two. Do I need to go back to Matthew chapter 6, treasures, heart, Luke chapter 16, we can't love God and money? No, I won't go back there. I just dropped it all over you right there. It's because God knows this. When he's number one in your finances, he's number one in your life. Because naturally, your heart will always have a tendency to follow your money. I listen. So God says to the nation of Israel, I want you, nation of Israel, to move in my direction. That's they're gotta be thinking at this moment, great, great, how do we do that? And he says this, I want you to put me first financially. God says this to the nation of Israel. I want to bless you. I want to come on strong on your behalf. That's not a bad promise to have, folks. Can I get an amen on that? If God's coming to you saying, I want to move in your direction. I want to work on your behalf. If God is telling you that, is that a bad, bad thing? No. And this is what he's saying to the nation of Israel. I want to work on your behalf. And they're saying, that's awesome. How do we get some of that action? He says, I want you to prioritize me. Back into the number one spot. I want to be number one in the realm of your finances. So in essence, God is saying this to you and me with this idea, with this teaching application, with this passage of scripture. He's saying this. I don't want to be number five on your list anymore. or number 7 or number 10. And I'm telling you, that curse thing, you're under curse, the whole lot of you. You know what that is? It's an insult to me. When you are so upside down, you're so screwed up, you're so out of balance. And that's what your list looks like. And you come to me and you ask me to get involved with your finances. That's an insult. Are you catching the implication of what this idea, this application from this particular passage is saying for you and me today? We go to God as everything's upside down. We're out of balance. God, would you move? Please, would you help me with my finances? Would you move in my direction? And according to Scripture, every time you look at it, when you ask God that, you know what he's going to reply to you? How about you moving into mine first? Now, to be fair, Malachi chapter 3 was a promise to the nation of Israel. And to be clear, this is nothing more than a thematic look at what God wants to do for us too. Okay? But it was a promise that God made to the nation of Israel at that particular time. But, however, it reflects a principle throughout Scripture that you can look in every other teaching that Jesus has about finances in any other area, that if we put God first, especially when it costs us something, God will respond to you in a way that will blow you away. Remember, he says countless times throughout Scripture, this is about being number one in your heart. Oh my goodness. And now that you've thrown open the doors to me with your priorities financially, just sit back and watch what I will do for you now. Guys, man. The epicenter with what happens to us in our lives centers around our money. Spiritually speaking, it centers around our finances. It centers around our stuff. And God coincidentally connects the two and he says, you think it's about your money because that's the practical application I'm giving you. But guess what? There is an underlying meaning here. It's not about necessarily your money. It's about your heart. When are you going to see that your finances and your heart are connected? It's just that money will always be in competition every single day. Your greatest spiritual dilemma will be God or money, God or my stuff. And at the end of every day, you're going to ask yourself, who won today? He is and always will be saying this. You want me to move towards you? Then how about moving towards me first? You want me to help you with your finances? Because I will. Then how about putting me first on the list? Gosh, the magnitude of this issue. This is a big deal to God. Nothing could be more clear in all of Scripture that God desires so passionately to work on our behalf. He wants to move in our direction. Guys, think about it this way. He made the first move by sending his son. That takes care of our eternity. And now he's saying with this particular idea, the most preeminent area, more than any other area in your life that demonstrates firsthand your and my response in moving towards God is in the area with our finances, is in the area with our stuff. Because that area so naturally tends for all of us to be the area that we rate our personal security. Everything hinges on what we have or what we don't have. Huge spiritual topic here, folks. All right, so let me move to the next passage. Matthew chapter 6, 24, and then verses 31 through 33. Let me make sense of this idea for you today. Okay? Now, when you get there, three of you that are turning your Bibles there, you'll find that this is a repeat. We've kind of actually talked about this before. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to these verses now with the idea of priority. Kind of our big conversation, priority in mind. This reflects what Malachi was talking about, and he said 400 years ago earlier before Jesus says these words. Matthew chapter 6, 24. Here's what he says. All right, again, it's a repeat. So you're like, hey, I heard that verse. We don't need to go over that. No. Hear it in order of priority. No one can serve two masters. In other words, with the idea of priority in mind, no one can serve two masters. Jesus is saying this. There's only one number one. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. So God says this. Either I'm going to be number one on the list, or you're going to be number one on the list. But he even makes it more specific. Check this out. You cannot serve both God and money. The spiritual dilemma we will face every day with our priorities, with our stuff, is what you and I will do with our money. Verse 31 through 33, skip down. So he says this, so do not worry saying this. So don't worry. God says, don't worry saying these things. Now let me help you out. I'm gonna make this a little bit of a PJ translation so you understand. Because we're worried. Remember, financial security tied to us. So we're asking these questions a lot because everything ties to this. Turn the W in the we's upside down to me. So he says, don't worry by saying these things. What shall me eat? Or what shall me drink? Or what shall me wear? Jesus is saying this. You seem to be so concerned about this because you're always asking, I don't have this, I need that, I want that. You're always asking, I need this. This is what I want. So what shall me eat? What shall me wear? What shall me drink? This seems to be a big concern for you. It's because your priorities are out of order. You've got you at the top of the list and me, God, number five. That's why you're asking those questions. He then proceeds, look, man, people who don't even believe in me have this dilemma. And you know me personally. I think. For the pagans run after all these things. People who don't even believe in God prioritize their life this way. And your heavenly Father knows that you need this stuff. And here's why this verse is a verse you've heard 1,000 times, probably if you've grown up in church. But I want you, listen, orders, priority. This verse you have heard thousands of times. But remember the context. He is using this verse at the end of a conversation about money. About finances. Blow your minds. But seek, what's the word? Say it with me. No, all of you. What's the word? Seek. Where? Okay, somebody like, I don't know if I want to say that. Seek, look. Look, first. Look, first. Look, first. Look, first. Seek first, top priority, first on the list, top of the order. What? His. Mine? Me? Me? We? Me? Seek first his righteousness, his kingdom. And now we're going to see God's promise, cause and effect. If you seek first, Malachi 3, remember, I love the Bible. Seek first. My kingdom, my righteousness. And just sit back and watch how I will take care of the rest. Whoa. So in essence, God's saying this. Here's what you need to do with your list, my list. You need to flip it. Give. Save. Pay taxes. Repay debt. And spend. And everybody in here just freaked out. Jesus is saying in this particular passage, here's you want to know what my list is, spiritually speaking, for finances? Flip it. Turn it upside down. I want you to put me, God, first. Give. I want you to seek me first. And if you seek me first, then you will have thrown open the door to your heavenly Father. You will have invited him in to the core of who you are, your money and your stuff, your heart. Seek me first is what God says. Move towards me and then just watch. Sit back and be marveled at how big I am. Watch how I will move towards you. Watch how I will work on your behalf in ways that you can't even fathom. Because all this other stuff that's consuming you, all this other stuff, if you put me number one, all this other stuff I will take care of. You know why? Because you think you know what you need, but I know what you need. I'm the only one who really does know what you need. And if you got the proper priorities, you'll start to see what you need. Now, guys, let me share this. This isn't about how to get rich. Be careful. This is not about how to get rich. Most of us are already rich. Randy did that illustration last week. Everybody stand up. We don't need to do that. If you've got a roof over your head, food in your belly, based on the world's standards and conditions, you're already rich. Come on, let's not be fooling ourselves. Probably 75% of the people in here already know what they're eating for lunch or where they're going for lunch. This is not about getting rich. You know what this is? This is about a peace that probably many of us have been searching for years, for decades. That comes from knowing finally that God has invaded an area of our life that probably has been closed off to him for years. And if we could do this, we'd throw open the doors to him. Give, save, pay taxes, repay debt, spend what's left over. Now, you know what's interesting about the United States of America? For most of us, if we do this correctly, and we do this correctly, for most of us, what happens to these? I mean, I shared with you my story 3 weeks ago. For most of us, they go down. Can you imagine if you didn't give, and you couldn't write that off as a deduction at the end of the year, what your taxes would be? Because some of you are like, I still owe. Oh, yeah? So let me break it down for you even more, just because I know that we're very finite minds, okay? Simplified. Give, save, live on the rest. Spend. Give, save, spend. Give, say that with me. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. Again. Louder, you're not sold on it.
Give, save, live.
Give, save, live on the rest. Give, save, live on the rest. Give, save, live on the rest. This, folks, is what God says will throw open the doors of heaven and his involvement into your personal finances. And I'm telling you, the countless stories, the countless letters, the personal things that have happened in our life that we've received through the years of ministry of people who have decided to reprioritize their list, flip their list, they would say this: that is the key to real financial success. That is the key to true financial freedom. That is the key to financial and spiritual peace. This is not about giving. This is about living. Now, here's what I want you to do today. As we close this series, I'm challenging you this, which absolutely means nothing because I'm just a man. So let's look at it this way. Maybe God is just challenging you to do this. Would you be willing to go home, take a very, very close look at your finances? Look at them closely. Investigate what it might just look like. I know, you're freaking out. Don't freak out. Just look at it. What might it look like if you reprioritized, you flipped your list? What would it look like if you gave God the best first? Then you saved, and then you lived. Go home, check it out. Chances are many of us have never done that before. Because here's why. Many of us would hear this today and you're freaked out. You're freaked out. You're going to be like, there is no possible way. Because if I went, I already know what my finances look like. And you know right now, if you went home and you looked at desk, you probably discover that you cannot. There is no way possible that if you flip your list, there's no way possible that you could continue living the lifestyle you're living. And guess what? Here's what I would just say. Very simple. That's okay, because chances are the lifestyle that you've been living has been killing you. The peace, the stress that's relieved, all I got outside of the Word of God, which is enough, is the proof in the numerous stories of people that said, I've moved towards God's way. I've given, I've saved, I've lived. I've given, I've saved, I've lived. I'm telling you, folks, I challenge you, if you flip your list, you have the opportunity to experience something that you have never experienced before, because this will impact every single area and arena of your life. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine something with me just real quick, just to make sense of it. Because I know sometimes we talk in spiritual applications, it's like, whoa, those are big. Those are really tough to comprehend. How do I practical? What's the next step? What would that really look like? I mean, does it really make sense? Are they just spiritual, big, out there truths? Or what would that look like? I want to just show you just something so you understand. And now this is imagination. I got a crazy imagination, so just work with me on this one, okay? I got a crazy imagination. But just take, for example, what if every single person in this room decided, all right, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to do it in just one area of my life, just one area of my life. So let's just talk about credit card debt, because chances are all of us have credit card debt in some way, shape, or form. Did you know, on average, the average American spends this, $1,500. All right, let's do credit card debt, okay? You probably can't see this, but my pen's dying because I wrote really hard. Okay, $1,500 a year in just interest alone. That's the person, $60,000 credit card debt down to $3,000 credit card debt. The average, $1,500. Just imagine with me. Just work with me, okay? Work with me. $1,500 a month is what the average American spends, and $1,500 annually, in interest alone. So, work with me, imagination. What if every celebrator decided just to tackle one area and flipping their list? One area, and we just said, all right, with my credit card debt, I'm gonna wipe it out. I'm just gonna wipe just one area of your finances that's out of balance. One area. So every single celebrator, we have probably what we've been told or kind of know in our records, around 1,000 plus people that say, I go to church of celebration. That's my church, okay? So I don't want to go off of this number because we don't see the 1,000 every week. You know what I'm talking about? All right, okay? So let's just say, let's divide that number in half. 500 family units, 2.3 kids, a dog. All right, but here's what. I'm not even going to use that. I'm going to use this. Let's just be conservative and say 375 total family units at the church of celebration decided I'm going to flip my list and I'm going to tackle one area that I'm out of balance. I'm going to eliminate my credit card debt. $1,500 annually that we're being charged in. And you wiped it out. You wiped it out. It's crazy. What if every celebrator did this? We wiped it out. 375. 1,500. Okay? So 375 family units at COC. If we just did one area and we times those two together, one area that all of us are probably upside down. What that number is? $562,500. $500 available, what? To give to God. Time out, because you're like, whoa, who says that I have to give it to the church? It's my imagination. I can work that way. Anyway, that's what they did anyway. 506. Are you kidding me? Can you just imagine, just Church of Celebration alone, $560,500 a year if we just tackle one area in our personal finances, got a balance and worked out this area, put God first, gave to the church what we saved in what that was alone, 500, because you're like, I ain't giving that money. That's your extra. Got to determine what your extra is, you know what I'm saying? Be rich towards God. If you fail, to be rich towards God. Okay, I could repeat this whole series all over. Listen, you know what's even crazier? Here's what's even crazier. $562,500 with $375,1,500 annually. You know what the annual church budget is, Church Celebration? Just so you know, because you're like, I ain't got a clue. Just about $565,000. That's what we budget, conservatively. And you already, many of you are already in these chairs right now because of the ministries of the Church of Celebration and the impact that they've had in Maricopa. Can you just freaking imagine what we could have in eternal kingdom impact in Maricopa and globally if we could double our budget? Guys, we are just talking the Church of Celebration alone. What if the global church followers of Jesus Christ, Christians, flip their list? Wow. We just flipped our list. Imagine if we did that. You know what's what's interesting? Here's what's interesting. If you could get yourself to the point of flipping your list and giving to God first, I promise you, I guarantee you with my and Ginger's life alone, and I've got countless other stories, if you could give to God first, flip your list, I promise you, something changes in how you see this. Would you go home and look into how maybe, just maybe, you could flip your list? Now, I know it's not a quick decision. I know it's not an easy decision. But here's the one thing that I do know. Based on the word of God as a promise, I'm almost done. So do not shut me off, because this is what everybody's got to hear, please. I know it's not quick. I know it's not easy. I know you can't do it overnight. But here's one thing that I do know, that if you could get yourself to flipping your list and what you do with your money, here's what I know. You will be seeking first the kingdom of God in the most difficult area to seek first the kingdom of God in. And if you do seek first the kingdom of God in the most difficult area to seek first the kingdom of God is placing him number one on the list, here's the promise. Ready for this? All of these other things will be added unto you. Wow. Wow. Will you stand to your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes? Don't shut me off, because I just want to say a couple words real quick. We're going to sing a song, pretty powerful song. I want you to listen to the words as we sing this song, as we close out this series. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to think back about this series. I'll refresh your memories. I want you to think back about what it would be like to be balanced in one of the most spiritual topics of Scripture in your life. I want you to think about this. Do you know clearly every day, every week, every month where your money's going? Do you have a starting point established? Here's the one that most of us get caught up on. Have you ever made a point in your life and decided that I am going to honor God with everything? This is what keeps many of us stalled. Have I ever come to that point and realizing it all belongs to God. So I need, God, you to help me. Show me how I can honor you with it all. Will you be willing to roll up your sleeves and work hard? Something that will cost you something and make some constant adjustments. Remember, you drift into debt, but you have to dig your way out of it. Would you determine that God wants you to be free from the slavery called debt? Would you determine now what it looks like to give of your extra to God? Because that passage of scripture said this, you think it's about you, your extra is for you, but you've got the wrong perspective. If you fail to be rich towards God along the way, this is what's going to happen in the end. You will die with nothing. Would you ask God to show you that you already got everything that you need? You're aware, so you don't need to be discontent anymore. And would you consider flipping your list? Inviting God into your finances the right way, not in the desperate moment of God, please, begging God to get involved. Would you ask him in the right way? And then ask God to give you the courage to do what he said to do. Give, save, and live. God wants to move in your direction. His question for you today is this. Start moving in mine first, and I will blow you away. Let me pray for you today. Jesus, would you help us all in this particular area move mightily and miraculously? Give us courage and knowledge to do something with what we've heard about in this series. We love you, Jesus. And I'm praying that you would give us victory every day. And at the end of the day, more days than not, we could say, God, you won today, not my stuff. You won. Love you in your son's precious name. Amen.